Hello, and welcome to Aprende Inglés con Reza y Craig, the best podcast for improving your English and taking it to the next level. And now your hosts, the very lovely Reza and Craig.
Hello, 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 hello again, and welcome to episode 89 of Aprende Inglés con Reza y Craig. I'm Craig.
Well, if he's Craig, I must be Reza.
You must be. If you are a new listener to this award-winning podcast, welcome. With over 40 years of teaching between Reza and I, we will help you improve your English and take it to the next level. In this episode, we'll be speaking about politics and government vocabulary.
Politics, Craig? Must we really speak about politics?
Well, you know, there's some vocabulary that's useful to the listeners. And although politics is not my favourite subject, I think it's quite an important one and one that sometimes affects people in a positive or negative way. And people have very strong opinions on politics. So I think we should speak about it at least once. What do you reckon?
Yeah, you're right. Whether you like it or not, it definitely affects your life. So you need to know how to talk about it in English.
But before we start on politics vocabulary, we've got some listener feedback from Gabriella from Peru, who's living in Australia. Wow, you're so lucky, Gabriella. It's one of my favorite countries. I wonder if she's in Sydney. Anyway, Gabriella says, "Hi, Reza and Craig. I am from Peru, but at the moment I'm living in Australia. My native language is Spanish, and now I'm learning English, and it's interesting. Thank you for your help. I listen to your podcasts very often, and I like how you explain all of the subjects. I'm sorry for my mistakes in this message." Well, actually, there were not many mistakes, Gabriella, and I have corrected the few mistakes that there were, and you can see my corrections at inglespodcast.com/89. So, Gabriella asks us to speak about verb tenses. She says, "How do I know if I'm using the correct tenses in my speaking or writing? Thank you so much for your answer." Well, I don't know what you think, Reza, but it's very, very difficult in one podcast episode to speak about all of the different verb tenses, isn't it?
Yes, Gabriella, I don't think it would be very practical to do that. It's too much information and it's too complicated and it would take up too much time. You wouldn't really learn properly. You've just got to learn bit by bit.
What we suggest is that you look at past episodes of our podcast. And if you go to inglespodcast.com, you'll see a search box on a mobile phone, on a tablet, or on the actual webpage at inglespodcast.com. And just type in the tense you'd like to study, and you'll probably find at least one podcast that speaks about it, because we've spoken about present simple. Last week we spoke about the past continuous, past progressive. Very soon we're going to compare the past progressive with the past simple and past perfect simple and past perfect progressive tenses. And we've spoken about the present perfect and the future tenses. So we're taking them one by one, and we're sometimes comparing two tenses together and contrasting them. But to compare all of the tenses in English, I think would be too much. So again, Gabriella, go to the website, search for the tense you need to practice. And if you find that some particular aspect or point that you need to know about a particular tense is not in a podcast, we'll be very happy to talk about it in the future. So let us know if you don't find what you're looking for. But first, please go to the website and search for the tense that you're interested in studying. One thing I'd like to say, Reza, is a student of mine made a mistake last week with a false friend that I wanted to mention. It's estar constipado. Have you had any mistakes translating that verb to English?
Yes, I've heard that quite a few times.
It's a problem.
Isn't it? Because it sounds much worse than it is. Estar constipado, to have a cold. Not to be constipated.
Not the same thing, is it?
What is to be constipated in Spanish?
To be constipated in Spanish is estar estreñido, which is blocked at the other end. So if you have a cold, your head is blocked, your nose is blocked, there's no air getting through. And if you're constipated in English, you're blocked at the other end. Yes. So be careful. Yes.
Different blockages.
Be careful to get your blockages correct. Yes. So estar constipado is to have a cold. I had a cold last week, actually, and it's to catch a cold. First you catch a cold, then you have a cold. And to be constipated in Spanish is estar estreñido.
You have a cold, or you can say that your nose is blocked. Sometimes people say, oh, my nose is blocked.
And sometimes your nose is running.
Yes, if it's running, too much mucus is coming out of it. And if it's blocked, nothing will come out of it, and you're finding it difficult to breathe.
And if you have, if your nose is running, you'd use the adjective runny, so you have a runny nose.
But don't say you're constipated. That's different. In English, I'm sure it's the same in Spanish. You don't normally tell people when you're constipated. When you're constipated, it's best to, shall we say, keep it to yourself.
Moving on to...
Well, in fact, if you're constipated, you have no choice but to keep it to yourself. You can't share it with anyone.
And you won't be moving on anywhere soon. So moving on to politics and government, a slightly more serious subject. So vocabulary, Reza. So obviously politics in Spanish is política.
Did you say, Craig, just to be extra sure and that the listeners know the microphone's not playing tricks, did you say politic or politics?
Politics with an S.
With an S. Right. Is that without an S doesn't exist.
Is that a problem for Spanish speakers? Do they tend to...
I think they do because in Spanish it's la política.
Okay, it's singular. It's
but in
singular.
English, it's always plural. Politics are... Well, no, I tell a lie. It can be singular or plural, can't it? But it always ends in S. Politics are deadly, or politics is deadly. It can be singular or plural.
Politics is a difficult subject sometimes.
But it always ends in S.
Yeah.
You must have the S. Like economics, mathematics,
news,
physics, news, always ended in S.
A person who works in politics is a...
Hijo de la gran Bretaña. No. A person who works in politics is a politician.
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 Political. What's political? Ending AL, political.
It's an adjective.
Aha, so that's the adjective.
So a political speech would be somebody speaking about politics. Mm-hmm.
What about the word plan d'acción or la política de un partido, for example? How would you say that in English?
That would be policy. So the policy of a political party. Now, party is an interesting word because party obviously can be fiesta. Mm-hmm. But a political party is partido. Mm-hmm. So what are some examples of a political party in the UK, for example?
Well, the main political parties are the Conservative Party and the Labour Party. The Conservative Party, well, conservative means conservador. So that's what they are. They are a Conservative Party who are called the Conservative Party, so that's easy to remember. In other words, they are to the right of politics.
So in English,
conservative, to the right.
In English,
right,
we can say they're right wing.
Right wing, yeah. Wing is ala, la ala derecha, yeah. Right wing. What about the Labour Party then?
Well, they are left wing, de izquierda. So Partito Laborista, Labour Party. Of course, if they're very, very left wing, probably communist. And if they're very, very right-wing, possibly fascist.
And then there's another word which is quite difficult to explain in any language, liberal. Some political parties or some politicians call themselves liberal, I guess in Spanish, liberal, which kind of means not extreme, I suppose, right?
The middle of the road. Is there a liberal party in Spain?
Not that I know of. Hmm. There's no party that calls itself liberal. Unlike in the United Kingdom, where we have the Liberal Democrats,
yes.
It's a small party which is between the two big parties.
Mm-hmm.
What about in American politics, Craig? Who are the two main parties?
Well, it's very much in the news at the moment, the American politics, because the election's coming up this year. So there's the Republican Party at the moment, and a person who's in the news for the Republican Party at the moment, Mr. Donald Trump, and the Democratic Party, sometimes called the Democrats. Very much in the news for that party at the moment, Bill Clinton's wife, Hillary.
So both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump would like to run for president someday.
They would. To run for president. Ser candidato a presidente. Mm. To run for president. Or to run for office, you could say.
Office is any political position, yeah?
Correct.
So you could run for vice president, for example.
Yes.
Which would be also office. Do you remember our lesson on academic English and vice chancellor? And I said that was a strange use of vice because usually vice means number two. Like vice president, he's number two. But in academic English, the vice chancellor is not number two. He's actually number one. It's a kind of strange word. Remember that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And government, of course, is el gobierno. And the verb of government is to govern, to govern. Now, at the moment, Spain is being governed by a coalition, isn't it?
No, that's not strictly true, Craig. No, hold on.
I thought it was.
At the minute, there is only a interim government. Because they've just had elections in Spain just before Christmas, and the results of the elections were not decisive. No party has a clear majority.
I thought that's so, why they were going to...
Well, they're negotiating. They're negotiating.
Okay.
But they haven't decided yet who's going to be the next government. It hasn't been decided.
I think everybody can tell at the moment that I'm not very interested in politics, so I don't really know much about it. I apologise. Any other vocabulary connected to politics?
Did we mention the word democracy?
Very important word.
Democracy.
Democracy.
The right to express yourself politically and vote for whichever political party you want or no political party. Not all countries are democratic. In some countries, they don't have elections.
Mm-hmm.
They are undemocratic. What is a ballot, Craig?
A ballot is, in Spanish, votación, where people vote for their particular party or representative. And this sometimes happens, well, an election is where you'd have a ballot. And if it's an election that involves the whole country, it's a general election. A general election where people vote for their elected party.
What if it was elections to decide who will be in the city council or town council? That's ayuntamiento.
They would be local elections for local government.
And what if it was, for example, in the case of Spain, to see who's going to control one region, like where we live, La Comunidad Valenciana? They have what they call the Generalitat Valenciana. What type of elections would that be?
Regional elections from the region of the country.
I'm sure many of our listeners in South America are familiar with regional elections there too. I think in countries like Brazil, Argentina, they have regional elections.
So we mentioned before that the, for example, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are representatives or candidates for the election for their particular parties. So a candidate is candidato.
Mm-hmm.
And these candidates will try to get elected, to become elected, by doing a political campaign. Mm-hmm. Campaña.
You can do a campaign or also to run a campaign. Those are two verbs used with that.
Be careful of the spelling. C-A-M-P-A-I-G-N. Campaign.
As you mentioned earlier, Craig, Donald Trump's campaign has been, let's say, very colourful. It has brought a lot of media attention.
Yes, I'd like to ask you about that after we've looked at the vocabulary. I'm sure you've got an opinion on Mr. Trump. But campaign is the noun, and it's also a verb, to campaign. So at the moment, they are campaigning for office.
Craig, what do you call the people who are eligible? They have the right to vote in the election.
The electorate?
Mm-hmm. So that's not the whole population. For example, babies can't vote. They're too young.
Correct. And we can't vote in a general election because although we have residency in Spain, we have residency here, but we can only vote in regional elections. We cannot vote in national general elections because we're not part of the general Spanish electorate. People who represent the government are called ministers, government ministers, and the body, el cuerpo, the body is called the ministry.
What about people who don't work in the government, but they're politicians, the people who always criticize the government? So you'll find
the general public.
Well, yes, but the politicians who are in the parliament. Okay. Parliament. What do you call the ones who are in the parliament, but the ones who always criticize the government? They're not members of the government party.
The opposition.
Okay.
The opposition.
At the minute in the United Kingdom, which party forms the government?
The Conservatives.
And so the Labour Party are the opposition?
The Labour Party at the moment are opposition. They're opposing the Conservatives.
Mm-hmm. The word parliament is a word which often gets misspelt, doesn't it? People forget the I in the middle. P-A-R-L-I-A-M-E-N-T.
Parliament. So it's like parliament, but the pronunciation is parliament. Three syllables. The first syllable is stressed. Parliament. Parliament. How do you say, Reza, encuesta or votación in English?
That's a poll. So that could be for national politics, or it could just be anywhere.
But it's not P-O-L-E, it's P-O-L-L.
That's right. What do you call the place where you vote in the polls?
Polling station. Polling station.
That's the building which has been allocated for you to vote in, the polling station.
It's often a school in the UK, isn't it?
Yes, very often. That will be the polling station.
So different political tendencies we could look at. Socialista in English.
Socialist.
Capitalista.
Capitalist.
Nacionalista.
Nationalist.
I think there's a common theme here. Mm-hmm. Monarchico?
Monarchist.
Monarchico. Yeah. Monarchist. A monarchist. Somebody who's in favour of the royal family.
Uh-huh. We could add also regionalist, a party which wants more power for their particular region of a country. They would be a regionalist party.
For example, Catalonia.
In Catalonia. Well, they might be a nationalist party. They might want an independent Catalonia. I was thinking more of something like in Valencia, as an example, there's a party called Compromís, which is all about doing the best they can for Valencia. But they don't want independence. They just want more rights for Valencians, as they see it. So they would be a regionalist party.
Are they well supported? Are they a popular party?
In the last elections, they did very well, didn't they? In the last regional elections, their vote went up a lot. Now they're doing very well, I think.
Before we continue with this podcast on politics and government, we'd like to mention our wonderful sponsor, Italki, italki.com. Reza, what is Italki?
Italki is a place on internet where you can improve your English or indeed any language. It has many advantages. It's cheap. You pay according to what the teacher asks for. Not all teachers charge the same amount of money. You look at the profile, which tells you about the teacher's experience, their qualifications, etc. Find out how much money they're charging and what they're offering and decide who's best for you. It's convenient. You do it via Skype. So all you need is a computer and a little bit of time. You can do it at strange times because there are teachers all over the world. If you fancy having a class at midnight, that might be very convenient for someone in Thailand because it's not midnight there, and maybe it's no problem for them to have the class at midnight for you. It's personal. As I said, you choose your own teacher. You choose when you're going to have the classes. You choose how long the classes are going to be. If you decide you'd like to try a different teacher, you can do that. Just try another teacher and stick with whoever you prefer. Carry on or stop the lessons whenever you like. There's no obligations whatsoever. And it's very affordable. You don't have to pay any school, any academy, or any middleman. You just pay the teacher what they're charging.
That sounds wonderful. So tell me, Reza, if somebody's interested in taking a lesson with iTalki, how can they find the website?
Well, I would recommend our listeners to take advantage of the special offer that iTalki is offering to EnglishPodcast.com listeners. If you go to EnglishPodcast.com/iTalki and you click on Start Speaking, Find a Teacher, you can take advantage of the 100 free credits, iTalki credits, ITC credits they call them, to register. So ITC credits are what you buy to get a teacher, and 100 iTalki credits will get you about what?
Probably a free lesson.
A free lesson, yeah. The equivalence in dollars, more or less.
Probably around about 14 euros, but something like that.
14 euros, something like that. So if you buy that, they give you that free. Buy 100 credits, they give you 100 credits free. You've already got 14 euros of class free and no commitment to continue. That's what I'd do.
So why not try it? Reza and I both agree that it's a wonderful way, especially to improve your speaking with a native teacher. And Reza and I would both like to thank iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Reza, how old were you when you first voted? Do you remember?
I can't remember exactly, but I think I was in my early 20s. And you?
I've never voted.
Never, ever?
Nope.
Ah. Nope. Is that through choice or through laziness, or you've never got round to it?
Probably the first. I don't vote through choice. I don't really believe that my vote would really swing anything significant, and I'm not knowledgeable enough in politics, I think, to make an educated decision. So maybe there's a bit of laziness in there too. I'm not saying there's no laziness in there, but because I'm not interested in politics, then I just don't vote.
You always abstain.
I abstain. I choose not to vote. I choose not to choose.
Okay, so you don't vote. So if I asked you what characteristics a good politician should have, if you knew a politician who had these characteristics that would make you vote for him or her, is there any type of person who could convince you?
Well, obviously, honesty is the first adjective that comes to mind. Obviously, a politician has to be honest.
And which, are many honest, in your opinion?
Well, as I was saying, I don't read a lot about politics. I don't interest myself in politics. I get very frustrated and very angry when I read, especially about Spanish politics, what's happening in government, in local government and national government. So I prefer to be ignorant and happy rather than knowledgeable and angry and frustrated. So I think a politician should be obviously honest, should be very motivating, should be very idealistic, and believe in the common good and serve the public. And I don't see a lot of that at the moment in Spanish politics. What about you?
The same as you, I think above all, honesty is the most important quality in a politician, because I want to believe that they're going to really do or try to do what they said they would do. But sadly, it's often not the case. And it doesn't matter if they're right wing or left wing or in the middle. It very often appears that they do not keep their word. To keep your word is to do what you promised to do.
To keep your promises. Do you think your political views have changed much during your lifetime?
No, actually, not a lot. They haven't. Although I think I'm more understanding these days. But that's just to do with getting older, I think. I think people in their 40s...
What do you mean by understanding? Understanding politicians' decisions?
Partly, but understanding of other people's decisions in general, which includes politics, but it includes everything. I think, generally speaking, people in their 40s, like me, are more willing to understand the point of view of other people.
So it means
compared to someone in their 20s, for example.
It sounds like you're listening more.
Exactly.
More attentively.
Yeah, and you've just learned more. The mere fact of being on this earth for 20 years longer means you've learned a bit more, I think. So my political views are probably more understanding now. I'm more prepared to understand other people's views. And I would never let politics get in the way of friendship. I think that would be silly. What about you?
I think a lot of my friends and myself included, when we were students, when we were younger, we were more left wing, definitely more socialist. And I think over the years, I've moved a little bit more to the right. Not too much, but a little bit more to the right. But as I said before, I don't think a lot about politics. I don't involve myself in politics. But my general outlook, my general opinion is probably more a little bit to the right than it was when I was 20 years old. Yeah.
Would you say that's...
When I was 20, I was actually a member of a union when I worked for the government I worked for the Department of Health and Social Security in the UK, and I joined the union. Mm-hmm. And I remember striking as well, going outside and striking.
That's a huelga, yeah.
A huelga, yeah.
And these days, and that was in the United Kingdom, right?
That was in the United Kingdom, that my left wing days.
These days, the unions are so much smaller and less powerful in the United Kingdom.
They are. In those days, they were very powerful.
They were powerful. Today, it's not as common to be a union, that's sindicato. It's not as common to be a union member as when Craig worked for the civil service. What was I going to say, Craig?
Do you think voting should be compulsory, especially for people like me who don't usually vote? Do you think I should be made to vote?
Well, you know, had you asked me 10 years ago, I would have said yes. So there's an example of what I was saying earlier about how I've changed. Now I would say no. See, I've become a little bit more understanding. I understand more now. Mm-hmm. That I'm older, why some people don't want to vote. But it used to bother me that, a certain type of person used to bother me. I'll be honest. Bother is modest. The type of person who didn't vote and then complained about the results of the election, that used to bother me.
Yeah,
because I thought, well, if you didn't vote, you've no right to be annoyed at the results.
Yep.
You should have voted, you know?
I agree with that.
But now I understand that people do get annoyed by the results, even though they haven't voted. I can understand. They might just think there wasn't anybody worth voting for.
I think the country should be run by taxi drivers. Taxi drivers and hairdressers, they always seem to know how to run the country.
Yes, taxi drivers always put the world to rights.
They do. They've got very strong opinions. Good luck to them. Just have a guess. How many countries do you think in the world have compulsory voting?
How many?
Have a guess.
Give me a few seconds to think about it.
These are countries that every citizen who is of voting age must vote.
So everyone in the electorate must
vote. Everyone in the electorate must cast their vote.
I don't think many countries. I would say about 20 countries, perhaps.
Very close, actually. Very, very close. 22.
Oh.
And I checked, from those 22 states, there are 12 Latin American countries, and I'll tell you what they are. There's Argentina, Australia, Belgium, Bolivia, Brazil, Congo, that's the Democratic Republic of Congo, Costa Rica, the Dominican Republic, Ecuador, Egypt, Greece, Honduras, Lebanon, Luxembourg, Mexico, a country that I've never heard of called Nauru, which is the smallest state in the South Pacific. Have you heard of that country?
I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
Yeah. Panama, Paraguay, Peru, Singapore, Thailand, and Uruguay. All of those countries, you must vote, which I think is a good idea.
I'm surprised that there are a few not on the list. I would have imagined North Korea, because, you know, that has a reputation as being a very totalitarian state. Totalitarian means control by one power or one person, and you must do what they say and you can't express any other opinion. I would have thought
that's like a dictatorship, they had to vote, isn't it?
Like a dictatorship, exactly. Mm-hmm. But no, North Korea is not on the list.
And I was surprised.
Maybe because they don't have elections. It could be the case that they just don't vote because they don't get the chance to vote.
It's a fait accompli. Yeah. Would you vote for an actor or an actress who campaigns for a government position?
If they knew about the politics concerned, yes. But merely because they're famous, no.
So you wouldn't vote like for Schwarzenegger or Ronald Reagan or...
Well, Ronald Reagan did know something about the politics, even though he had been an actor. He knew something, but many people would argue not a lot, but he did know something about the politics. And he had been a union member and things like that. In fact, wasn't Ronald Reagan basically the man in charge of the Actors Union of Hollywood for a while?
I think he was, yeah. I think he was. Reza, do you think most people really care who runs a country as long as they have a high standard of living, to be honest?
I care, but do most people care? I think no. And that sounds terribly cynical.
I agree with you. I think as long as people have food on the table, a roof over their head, a decent standard of living, that they can buy the clothes they want, they can buy the things they need, I think they don't really care.
Yeah. Well, Craig, I'm about to give my opinion about something. I'm going to lay my cards on the table.
What does that mean?
I'm going to lay my cards on the table, and I might annoy people. If we have any multi-billionaire listeners, I'm sorry, I'm probably about to annoy you, but just a couple of days before recording this podcast, there was a well-publicized news story saying, and I'm not making this up, check it on internet, that about 65 people own half the world's wealth. Did you hear it, Craig?
I didn't hear it recently, but I knew that. It's
official now. Well, official according to people like Intermon, Oxfam and Caritas and other reputable charities now have the information to say about 65 people own as much as half of the world. Mm. And for me, that is totally unsustainable. It's a situation which cannot be allowed. And I think some politician has to do something about that. 65 people should not have half the money of the world, I believe. Without getting into party politics, I feel very strongly about that. And I feel it's very sad that no politician has addressed that issue. So there, me he mojado. I've laid my cards on the table.
Well, I'm sure some listeners have got an opinion on what Reza's just said. So we'll be happy to hear from you, and we'll tell you how to contact us at the end of the podcast. But before we do that, one final question for you, Reza. Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, who will you be hoping for to replace Obama? Who I must say he's done a very good job. I like Obama. I think he's done a lot of good work.
I'm not going to say who I want, but I would say anyone except Donald Trump.
Really?
Please not Donald Trump, anyone else, really.
You're full of surprises.
What about you?
What an idiot. No, absolutely. I just find it very hard to believe that he's managed to garner so much support, to receive so much support from so many people in America. and to be on the news so much, to be honest. I just don't know how he does it. So the only thing I can say congratulations to as far as Donald Trump's concerned is his political campaign and the people behind him who are making him so popular. So they're doing an amazing job considering...
His campaign machine or campaign team, as they say.
Anyway, if you have an opinion or a view on what we've spoken about and you'd like to, more importantly, practice the vocabulary we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you can send us a voice message by going to speakpipe.com/Inglês podcast. If you'd prefer to send us an email, we would love to hear from you. Send your emails to me, that's Craig@Inglês podcast.com.
Or to me, Reza, that's belfastreza@gmail.com.
We'd both like to thank you all for listening to this episode and tell you that on next week's episode, we'll be speaking about how not to answer personal questions when people say to you, how much money do you earn and are you married? How do you answer that? How do you deflect that question? We'll be telling you how to do that and more on next week's episode. But until then, it's goodbye from Reza.
And it's goodbye from Craig.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.